If a brother or sister in Christ sins, you're probably guilty. Let's talk about it on Eli.
That's Steve Brown, and this is Eli. He doesn't think of himself as super spiritual, but he is honest. He loves the Bible, and he loves to teach it, to apply it to daily living. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. If you had your Bible open to the book of Joshua, I'm a tour director. We're going through the Old Testament, and I'm pointing out a lot of stuff in the Old Testament as we go. We're taking each book in turn, and if this gets to be too old, or I get tired of it, we'll take a break and do something else. But we're going to come back to it, because this is so important and such good stuff, and so many Christians miss it. Don't not study the Old Testament. You say, well, Steve, it's really intimidating, man. There's just so much of it, and I don't understand it. Every time I read it, I get into these begat passages, and I listen, I'm going to help you, because I've worked hard on this, and so... That's what we're doing. We're going to take whatever time it takes to go through the entire Old Testament, just not verse by verse, but getting a handle. And we're looking at the book of Joshua, who's an old friend of mine. I'm just pointing out some verses as we go. I'm going to do that today. Tomorrow, Pete will come in. And then maybe some next week. I've got some more to show you in Joshua, and then we'll move on to the next book. I want you to, if you've got a Bible there and you can open it to Joshua 7. Well, if you've got it there, of course you can open it. If you're in a place where you can't open it because you just can't be waving around the Bible, trust that I'm reading it properly. Joshua 7, 10 through 11. Listen to this. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. Well, let me tell you about this verse so you kind of put it in context. One guy, Achan, had been disobedient to God. And the whole purpose of Joshua 7 is that they would find out who was the one who did it. Because some really, really bad stuff had happened because this one turkey had been disobedient to God and his family. So now they're trying, you can go read the whole chapter and get that context. So let me go back again. Joshua 7, 10 through 11. The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. Now, I want to say, no. You don't understand, God. That's very dangerous to say that sort of thing. You want to say, God, it was just Achan. It wasn't everybody. But let me tell you, there's an important principle that's going on here. And in fact, Eric, who's the producer of this broadcast, you ought to hear what goes on between the recording of these broadcasts. We sit, and he's in a little glass booth, and I sit in the studio, and we talk. And so he was talking about the whole meeting of Abraham with Melchizedek. Now, that's a Christophany. You say, whoa, what's that? Say what? That's a place where Jesus appears, but he comes sort of in a disguise in the Old Testament, and he doesn't say, yo, I'm Jesus, but he comes. And most scholars believe that this is one of the places where that happens. You remember when Abraham paid the tithe there, and he also, I don't want to say took communion with this Christophany, with Jesus, who was Melchizedek, but they partook of common elements. And then Eric said something really profound, that at that point, Abraham was representing all of Israel. He was representing that which would flow from his loins. That's true, because there's a corporate nature that takes place in that context. And there's something quite similar that's going on here in Joshua 7 when we look at the sin of Achan. I remember when I was in college, you can do anything in college today, nobody says anything, but I went in the olden days when there was still a modicum of discipline, a modicum of rule giving, a modicum of punishment if you didn't obey the rules. Those are really olden days. But I remember when I was in college and they campused a whole dorm because two guys had taken a knife to the furniture in the lobby. I mean, I was ticked. I was ticked at the administration for punishing me for something I didn't do. I was ticked at the guys who cut up the furniture, and if I'd known who had done it, I'd have gone after them. I was ticked that they had allowed me to suffer for them. The dean never found out who did it, but here's the really interesting thing. It never happened again. I'm concerned with your hurts, but let me tell you something else. I'm concerned with your sins because you're me and I'm you in a real biblical sense. We're connected. We're connected as the body of Christ, and that means that when you cry, I ought to taste salt. When you do bad stuff, that means I do bad stuff. When you rejoice, I ought to rejoice because you're me and I'm you, and we're a part of one another. We are, as it were, the corpuscles of the body of Christ. But there's a very practical, and you can understand this way in which that happens. If you cheat on, we can do this nationally. If you cheat on your insurance, my rates are going to go up. So what you do affects me, and no man is an island, to coin a phrase that was coined a long time ago. When people do drugs and get in cars, it's not the libertarian view, it's no skin off my nose. When they run over my kid, that connects me because we're connected. And that's the teaching of Joshua 7. It has a profound teaching for Christians in the sense that we're connected, but it has a profound teaching that goes beyond just God's covenant people. It has to do with common sense, that we're a community, that we're a part of one another, and that the pain of everybody else affects me and the sin of everybody else affects me, and we're responsible for each other, not in a pharisaical look down my nose, you can't do that, and God doesn't want you to have any fun kind of statement. But when they put a strip club down the street near a neighborhood where kids are in my community, that affects me. It's not you do your thing and I'll do my thing. My barber says that every time they close a strip club, they ought to close a church to make it fair. Now, he's not a believer. But I say to him, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. There's more to it than that. Don't you understand that we're connected? And what hurts you is going to hurt me? That's the teaching of Joshua. So you want to hear something really good? It's a delightful statement. Actually, it's from St. Benedict. He wrote it. It's the rule of the Benedictines in the 6th century. I love this. If any pilgrim monk come from distant parts, if with wish as a guest to dwell in the monastery, and will be content with the customs he finds in the place, and do not by his lavishness disturb the monastery, but is simply content with what he finds, he shall be received for as long a time as he desires. If indeed he find fault with anything, or expose it reasonably, and with the humility of charity, the abbot shall discuss it prudently, lest perchance God has sent him through this very thing. But if he have been found gossipy and contentious in the time of his sojourn as guest, not only ought he not be joined to the body of the monastery, but also it shall be said to him honestly that he must depart. If he does not do so, let two stout monks in the name of Jesus explain the matter to him. Isn't that great? What was being said by St. Benedict? He was saying, look, we're part of one another. And what you do affects me. And what I do affects you. That's one of the reasons for church discipline. And it's the teaching of Joshua 7. Now, there's a lot more to be said about Joshua 7, but if I spend a long time in that, we'll never get anywhere else. Let me flip over to Joshua 13, 1b in our tour of this book. I like this because, well, for very obvious reasons. You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over. Some of the version says there remains yet very much land to be possessed. This is God speaking. In other words, the major battles had been fought, but there was still not a perfect situation. In fact, and we'll talk about this maybe next week when we get some time to go into it more in detail, We live in a fallen world, and Christians have a tendency to forget that. That's the problem with perfectionism. May I say something from Sinai? Your pastor is not perfectible. Now, my pastor is more perfectible than your pastor, but your pastor is not perfectible, and neither is mine. Let me tell you something else. Your wife is not perfectible. Your husband is not perfectible. And your children are not perfectible. So deal with it. When you go into the promised land, you can fight all the battles, but it's never settled. It's never, ever settled until we get home. It wasn't settled in Canaan. It isn't settled today in Canaan. It'll never be totally settled until Jesus settles it by returning. And in the between times, we got to cut a lot of slack for a whole lot of people in a whole lot of areas because of Joshua 13:1b and the entire witness of the entire Bible. And so I'll do that for you if you'll do that for me, and we'll honor Christ in the way we do it. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you haven't received the current issue of the magazine, and I'm not sure which one, but all of the magazines and include a question and answer column. My itinerary is there. Articles by people other than me, and always one by me. There are a lot of great resources to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. And it's not just, though it is that, just a public relations piece for Key Life. Early on in this ministry, decided we were going to send out things unless they had ministry value. And trust me, this does. So I asked to receive the current issue of the magazine. I'll send it along to you. It's award-winning, and it's absolutely free. Just write us at Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N38533. You can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address, or you can call 1-800-KEY-LIFE 24 hours a day. And we'll send it to you. And it's free. I really mean that. That does not mean that I don't want your contributions. Very few people are able to help us financially. We're ministered to by this ministry. If you're one of those, pray about it and be as generous as you can. You can charge it on MasterCard, Visa, Discover card, and for any gift of any size when you request it, I'll send you as my thank you the cassette teaching what about the past. Gotta go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.